Romans chapter number 3, verse number 13. Don't treat me like you're a trash can. In life, we all experience things. We all have seasons in life in which we are not very proud of. And if you're not careful, people will begin to treat you like a time. A time when you lived in the projects. Nothing's wrong with that. A time when you were broke. Nothing wrong with that. People will begin to treat you like your situation and your circumstances. And the truth told, I can't control how you try to treat me. What I can control is how I treat me. It's a sad thing when people treat us in a particular way and we respond. When people get inside of your mind and convince you that you are something that you went through. When people begin to convince you that you'll spend the rest of your life single, that you'll spend the rest of your life broke, that you'll spend the rest of your life living in an apartment, that you'll spend the rest of your life living from paycheck to paycheck. That's a sad thing when we allow people to treat us like a trash can. You gotta know who you are. Amen. You gotta know whom you belong to. When you discover that you are a child of God, you become free from your situations and your circumstances. Because the truth of the matter is, what I'm going through really doesn't matter. What matters is how I see what I'm going through. I can be in a hellhole, but I still got the peace of mind within me. I can be going through a rough situation, but I still know the God that I serve. He is a deliverer. And so what I'm going through doesn't matter, because I know that God is going to see me through. Because the Bible declares that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. So whatever God started in you, you can rest assured He's going to finish it with you. He's going to finish the calling with you. No one can stop you from reaching the mark that God has set forward in your life. Only you can stop you from getting there. And so this morning, I came to encourage someone that in spite of the season, the time, the situations, the circumstances that you find yourself in this morning, the God that you serve says nothing is impossible. Amen. With me. Amen. Now notice I'm saying nothing is impossible. Because sometimes we'll look at our situations and our circumstance and we'll think that we're stuck right there. You're not the first case that God has ever represented. You're not the first patient of God. You're not the first person that find yourself going through something and you crying out to God and God is saying, well, I don't know what to do. What you're going through, you gotta know somebody else has been through that thing before. See, I think sometimes where we come to church and we're sitting next to someone who, if you just listen to their testimony, they'll blow you out of church. You don't know what the person to your left, to your right, has gone through. See, what I love about living in this present day and age is that I don't necessarily have to know the story of Daniel and Ruth and John and everybody in the Bible if I just knew your story. See, sometimes people can look at you and you shine and you got your bling and people see you going through something, but they don't know your story. They don't know how low you've been, but they don't know the God who resurrected you from how low you've been. I thank God He has the power to lift me up and you thought you were in a dead end, and all of a sudden God set you free. Isn't it an amazing thing when God frees you from something? Isn't it wonderful to know that the God that you serve, He's a deliverer? Isn't it amazing to know that there's nothing that you're going through that is too hard for God? Paul was a young man. Paul had the characteristics that we have today. Paul was one that he was raised up. He understood the law. In other words, Paul understood the Ten Commandments, but he did not understand the love of God. Have you ever met those people? You're going through something, they have absolutely no compassion for you whatsoever. What they have for you is a scripture. Have you ever met those people when you're going through something and they know what you need, but they refuse to give you what you need? What they want to do is they want to pray for you and speak in tongues over your life and tell you what God did for them. I don't really care about that. I'm talking about my situation. See, sometimes in your journey, you have to personalize it. Sometimes I want to pray for you, but sometimes I need to pray for myself. The Bible says David encouraged himself. Sometimes people will leave you and you're sitting there waiting on somebody to get you up. Baby, you better reach down inside and encourage yourself. You better tell yourself something good. You better tell yourself about the God that you serve. You better reach down and you better have something deep down inside. When the friends walk away, I know somebody that will never leave me. When the pains or bills are past due, I know somebody sitting there to plow with my knees. I don't need you to tell them scripture. I got one. Paul was this young man. Paul was going through. Paul was traveling one day on a road called Damascus. And as Paul was traveling on the road to Damascus, the sun, S-O-N, shined down while the S-U-N, sun, was shining. But Paul noticed not the sun, but he noticed the Son of God. So because when Jesus released his Shekinah glory, Paul saw Jesus in the middle of the day.
Thank you.
When Paul saw Jesus in the middle of the day, Jesus came to him and said, "Why do you kick against the prick?" In other words, what he's saying to him is, "Why do you go against my will?" Listen, God is calling you to do something, and you know that it's the voice of God, but the situation doesn't look right. You don't have your money in place. You don't have your job security. You don't have your retirement in place. But God says you must walk by faith and not by sight. If I can see it, it doesn't require faith. Every now and then, God will say, "Step out there and look like a fool, but watch me hold." Every now and then, step out there and try me, try my word. Every now and then, God will tell you, even though you're going through cancer, speak healing right now. Every now and then, God will make you do what appeared to be a stupid thing. But do you trust it? Do you trust it? Paul was changed on the road to Damascus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus took off his mask and showed him, revealed to him who he is. Sometimes your sickness, sometimes your rejections, sometimes the things that you're going through is so that God can demask you. Because you know, before you went through that thing, you thought you had it all together. And then the stuff that you were counting on, your bank account, your job, your position, your social status, God put your little tail in a place and he said, "You can't call on none of that." He put you in a place and he said, "The only one that you can call is Dr. Jesus. But won't he be a healer in your sick room? Only one that you can call is Jesus. But won't he be your banker when the bills are passed due? The only one that you can call is a friend named Jesus. But won't he be a friend when everybody else walk out on you?" Jesus sometimes will allow you to be demasked so that you can see you. Paul was going through something. And when God demasked him, he showed him the works that he had for him. Now Paul, when Paul was in the world, they didn't have street lights. And so if they wanted to do something at night and they needed street lights, Paul was the one to call. Paul would grab a so-called Christian, set them afire, and use them as a nightlight. That's a bad man. As a matter of fact, when Jesus met Paul, Paul was on his way with papers in his hand to go get some more so-called Christians. I wonder if Paul was still Paul today, will he find you being a child of God? I wonder if there are some papers circulating right now, and the papers was guilty or innocent, would you be found guilty of being a child of God? I wonder, like Daniel, if they came by your house, would they find you praying even though they say you can't pray in school? I wonder, would you allow somebody to legislate the Lord out of your life? Or would you say, come hell or high water, I'm still going to give him some praise? Would you say, if I don't have a friend in the world, I'm still going to give him some praise? Would you say, I don't care what you say, what you do, but as for me and my house, we will praise the name of the Lord. As Paul begins to mature, and then Paul sends this letter to the church at Philippi. When he sends the letter to the church at Philippi, he sends the letter to encourage them to keep on keeping on. And so when he sends this letter to him, the letter that he sends to the church at Philippi, is kind of an interesting letter, because Paul writes a letter to them, and he begins in chapter number 3 by outlining his background. In other words, he says, I know right from wrong. I was trained up in the church. I was trained in the law. I know every letter of the law. But how many of you know that you can know the letters of the law, but don't know the love of Jesus Christ, and your letters mean absolutely nothing? Have you ever met someone and they were all in church, stuck in church, every time the church door opened, they were in the church and had no love whatsoever? Have you ever met someone in the church where they knew the scriptures upside down, but their attitude was just faint, and every time you saw them, you ran from them? Have you ever met someone when you first came in the church just because you just left the club and your dress was a little bit short, and they told you you don't need to wear your dress like that? I just thank God he accepted you just as you are. You may not look like a saint, but keep on coming. God will work out the kinks in you. I may not smell like a saint, may smell like an old alcoholic, but if I keep on coming, thank God he'll watch me. He'll clean me up. I may not look like much to you, but thank God, if I just keep on coming to him, he'll turn me around. Paul says, listen, Paul says, I'm an educated man, and I love the Lord. He said, but everything that I've learned, he says, I count it as dunge. Just in case you don't know what dunge is, he says, I count it to be or to have the same value as animal waste. Isn't that something? He says, everything I know equals to nothing. Everything I know. Knowledge comes from textbooks. Wisdom comes from the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of us, we have a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. Cell phones, computers, internets, everything. We have a lot of information, but we have no wisdom. Information without wisdom makes you an educated fool. It is wisdom that teaches you how to discern the information. Wisdom teaches you how to use it. And so what Paul is saying is, I have a lot of information, but I don't know how to use it. The Bible says, if you desire wisdom, you go to God and ask God for wisdom. Paul went to God, got the wisdom, and he discovered, everything I know is nothing. It absolutely means absolutely nothing. The one thing that he knows, he says, is to forgetting those things.
All right.
Isn't that something? Listen to what he says. He says, forget it. Now, sometimes when we get holy, We like to say, you know, you wronged me. And because you wronged me, I need to forgive you. And you do. But God did not say for you to forget it. He says, I'll remember it no more. He didn't tell you to play God. He didn't tell you to allow someone to hurt you 5 times and keep going back into the same situation. He says, forget it. In other words, what he is saying through forgetting, he says, you got to release yourself from those things. You got to release yourself from those people. When you forget something, it's still in your mind. And thank God it's still in my mind, because that thing become a teacher to me. Now I know the stove is really hot. Don't touch it again. Now I know the bad relationship can really be hot. Don't touch it again. Now I know the neighbor, all the fools in my life can really be foolish. Don't touch them again. And so what he wants you to do is to release yourself from it. When you release yourself from it, what he's saying is, don't be ruled by it. In other words, you go through things in life, you have a bad experience, but you still remember the experience, because the one thing that you know is all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. So in the midst of me going through something, there was a purpose behind my pain. It didn't feel good, but I got something out of it. It didn't feel good, but it took me to the next level. It didn't feel good, but that's how I got in that position. It didn't feel good, but it ended up being a blessing. So everything that you're going through, he says, don't forget what you're going through. He says forgetting, which means to release yourself from it. Don't walk around carrying somebody else's stuff. Never allow somebody to throw their trash in your trash can. I got enough stuff going on in my own self. I don't need yours. I got enough problems. I don't need yours. What we allow people to do is to dump on us. They got an issue. They got a problem. They bring it to you and they dump it in your trash can. And you keep worrying about it. They went to the party. They having a good time. And you still worry about it. No, baby. I'll pray with you. When you stop praying, I'm going to stop praying too. When you go to the party, I'm going to church. I am not going to worry about yourself. No, I'm not going to do that. And so what he's saying is, you got to release yourself. He says forgetting, watch this, those things. He didn't say forgetting those people. Forgive those people, but remember those people. Forgetting those things. In other words, the things that you go through in life, they are there for a purpose. And so God is saying, everything that you go through, I'm taking that thing and I'm shaping you. I'm taking that thing and I'm using that thing to build your character, to build your integrity. I'm taking that thing to use that thing so it can become a footstool so that you can go to the next level. You see, the reason why you're still here this morning and what you're going through didn't kill you is because of everything that you've gone through. We need to begin to thank God for our troubles. You say amen, but you don't give him no praise. Yeah. Those are just words. Someone said it was good for me to be afflicted. In other words, it was good for me to go through something, because what I've learned is the Lord. Paul says, I want to know him through the fellowship of his suffering. In other words, in order for you to have an intimate relationship with God, you got to suffer like God. And so God allows you to go through something. In the midst of suffering, your character is developed.
Yes.
You're created in this image, but it takes struggle to get us to shine. See, that's why when your haters in life come, you need to begin to thank God for them, because all they're doing is shining you up. All they're doing is getting a little rough edges off. All they're doing is moving you a little higher. And he says, I got to forget all those things that are behind me. Now, what he's saying about the things behind you is simply this. Don't allow your past to pass you. Get that. Don't allow what I've gone through to come before me, where now it places doubt where faith should be. The Bible declares it is impossible to please God without faith. What doubt does is try to cancel out your faith. Doubt and faith cannot reside in the same temple. So you got to choose which one you're going to accept. God is saying to us, if you believe me, I'll make a way out of no way. If you believe me, I'll release you from whatever you find yourself in. If you believe me, I'll pay the bills. If you believe me, I'll heal your sickness. If you believe me, I'll send you what you need. If you believe me, he says, I'll give you traveling grace. If you believe me. Paul says we must forget all of those things that is behind us. And he says, I must reach. See, in reaching for something, you're going to have to stretch. Sometimes God will show you your blessing. You can almost touch it, but you can't. And he says, you got to stretch. You got to reach. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves stretching and reaching for something, and we begin to move our hands as though that makes us closer. See, but sometimes when you're going through something, these fingers is not what you need to move. You just need to raise your hands and begin to praise him. When you begin to praise him, then you found yourself getting a little bit closer. See, when you begin to praise God, God begins to move in your life. The Bible declares that God dwells in the praise of his people. In the midst of going through something, I challenge you to praise him. In the midst of a bad time, I challenge you to praise him. In the midst of everybody walking out of your life, I challenge you to begin to give him some praise. As a matter of fact, in the darkest hour, begin to give him a ridiculous praise, a stupid praise. Begin to praise him like he's already done. Begin to praise him like your blessing is already there. And everybody else looking at you and say, why is that fool praising God? I'm praising him because I know nothing is impossible with God. I'm praising him because I know that we've been may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm praising him because God just blessed my friend. I must be next in line. I'm praising him right now because I know what God is able to do. He's able to do all things. Have you ever tried the Lord? Have you ever been down and out and really tried the Lord? God will make a way out of no way. Paul says, I gotta reach. And when he says, I gotta reach, he says, I gotta reach for the prize. In other words, what he's saying is that you're not living a life as a Christian just for nothing. You're not even living a life as a Christian just to go home to be with the Lord. That irks me when I hear somebody talking about, I'm going home to be with the Lord. Then I'm gonna put on my golden slippers. No, baby, I'm gonna have some peace on this earth because I understand greater is he that is in me. I don't have to wait till I get to some heaven. All I gotta do is say, let your will be done. Bring heaven on this earth. Let me scatter the goodness. Let me know you're a healer. Let me know you're a way maker. Let me know you're a bridge over troubled water. He says, I'm reaching. He says, I'm reaching, and I'm reaching for the prize. See, the prize that he understood was that in the presence of God, he says, God will make everything all right. He says, then I got to press toward the mark. Now, the mark in the Greek language means a place of grace. Listen to me. That's where Satan is trying to stop you from getting into a place of grace. The place of grace is when you get in your sweet spot. You ever found yourself there in your sweet spot? Everything you asked God for, he showed up in your life. Every time sickness came, he just knocked it away. Every time you said, God move for you. Sometimes God will put you in a season of nothing but blessings. Sometimes God will open up the wonderful heaven for you and he'll say, I'm just going to pour. I'm just going to rain down blessings. I'm just going to let it rain on you. And then you wake up one day and you discover it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And you say, God, what did I do? Why are you mad with me? And God is saying, I'm not mad, baby. The difference between the raining on you and the raining on the unjust. When it rains on the unjust, they sink in the water. When it rains on you, he says, I take your water and I use it, baby. Just I use your water, baby. But you need a little ew. I use your water because I want to just water your soul, baby. So that the next time I touch you, baby, you're going higher than where you were before. I thank God for the rain. Without the rain, there's no growth. I thank God that he allows it to rain in my life sometimes. Because because God says, I'm pushing you. I'm pushing you toward the mark. Now, what Paul understood was the mark in his life. M-A-R-K, mark. He says the M is for a moment. One day, whatever you're going through, your moment's going to change. All you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand. It may be bad right now, but my moment is coming. It may be looking bad right now, but one day God is going to set me free. I may not feel good, but my moment is going to come. And when my moment comes, I'm going to maximize my moment. When my moment comes, I'm going to get everything that is due. When my moment comes, I'm going to sing praises to him. When my moment comes, I'm going to give him some praise. When my moment comes, I'm going to stay in his presence. When my moment comes, I know God is going to restore everything that Satan tried to take from me. When my moment comes, he says there's a moment. He says, now watch this. When you move into your moment, I need for you to understand, when you move into your moment, you don't set the A, the atmosphere, in your moment. Now, when you walk in the atmosphere should change. Because church doesn't start until you show up. Your blessings don't come until you walk in the atmosphere and you release the spirit of a blessing. You see, your spirit attracts what you release from it. If you release doubt, hatred, that's what you get. But if you put your mind on Christ and walk in a bad atmosphere, but when you show up, you change the atmosphere. I may be unemployed, but watch God give me a check anyway. I may be sick, but watch God heal me anyway. I may be alone, but watch God send me a friend. I may be going through something, but watch God. See, you got the power to change the atmosphere. When you walk into your atmosphere, you got to begin to speak into your atmosphere. See, when you release words, your words become spirit, and your spirits change the atmosphere. There's a moment in life that takes you to your atmosphere. When you move into your atmosphere and you begin to praise him, the R is revelation. That is, God begins to show you something. He begins to pull off some stuff. Now, be careful when you ask God to show you something, because God generally will begin with you. I know your problem. I know your problem, but I won't look at mine. I can tell other folk what you're doing wrong, but I understand my little white lie. It makes sense to me. And so what God does is God will put you in the mirror, and he'll deal with the man in the mirror. And when God begins to deal with you and begins to revelate, sometimes we want to send God somewhere else. Go deal with my enemies. God said, no, I need to deal with you right now. And so God begins to show you who you are and begins to show you what you made of, because God sometimes needs to cleanse us before he takes us to a next level. See, every level you go higher, you'll meet a different devil, a more powerful devil there. And so as God begins to move you up, God has to make sure that you purged, you're purified, that he's washed you. And then when God does the washing, then he can give you a revelation. And the revelation is what God called you to do. If you're here, you still have a purpose. Sometimes we begin to go through something and say, oh man, God is going to kill me in this situation. If God wanted to kill you, you've been dead a long time ago. He's not mad. The love of God is about maturing you. It's about growing you up. And so God puts you in something. And as God placed you in something, he says, now, while you're walking through the valley and the shadow of death, I need for you to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But God, I feel like I'm going to die. My enemies is all around. Don't worry about that. Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. But God, you just don't know my situation. I'm unemployed. Don't worry about that. And I shall supply all of your needs. You find yourself going through something and doubt sits in. And every time you tell God what you can do, he whispers something back and says, yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And you begin to walk a little taller and walk a little higher. And then all of a sudden God gives you the strength. And when he gives you the strength, he shows you the moment. He puts you in an atmosphere. He began to revelate. And then he gives you a knockout blessing. You said, thank God I had to go through all of this just to get here. Thank God I made it. I felt like giving up. But thank God, now I know you're a doctor. I don't need nobody to tell me. Now I know you're a bridge over troubled water. I don't need nobody to tell you. Now I know you're a lawyer in the courtroom. I don't need nobody to tell me. God is taking you through something because God got something in plan for you. You got to wait on the name of the Lord. When God shows up, God says, I'm going to step in your situation. I'm going to turn it all around. But you got to wait on me. Now watch this. When God steps into your situation, God says, now I'm ready. Are you ready for the blessings? Now listen, when I bless you, don't forget who blessed you. Don't walk away from me now. I need you still to come to church when I bless you. I still you need to tie out when I bless you. And so one day, you've been going through hell, and all of a sudden God opens up the window of heaven for you. And when the windows is open for you, all of a sudden the stuff that used to stop you can't stop you no more. The cigarette that you used to need to calm your nerve, now all of a sudden you got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The old drink that you used to have to go to sleep at night or to get in the right frame of mind, now all I have to do is get in his praise, and God changed the atmosphere. I thank God that everything I need, he'll supply everything. I thank God for his blessings. I thank God that one day he sent his only begotten son, and when Jesus stretched forth on an old rugged cross, and he says, I'm going to be here for 3 days. On the third day, I'm getting up. You know when Jesus got up, everything that you need, he put it in you to get up. You may be down and out, but I came to encourage you. Get up, baby. Get up. You feel like you're dead and out? No. You just right for a blessing. You just right for resurrection. Sometimes God will allow something to die so he can make it live. And see, sometimes it's better the second time around. The first time I jacked it up, but this time, when God has guided me, I won't fall in that ditch no more. This time, when God has guided me, I won't make that mistake no more. This time, when the storms of life come, I understand that I can walk on my water. This time, I understand that God has empowered me. I understand that the God that I serve, he's able. Have you ever tried God? Have you ever been going through something and really tried God? I mean, I need to talk to some folk that's really tried God. I need to talk to some folks who had nothing, had no one on their side. I need to talk to some folks who've been going through hell, but you called upon the name of Jesus. Won't he show up in your life? Won't God make a way out of no way? Won't he make a way? And when God shows up and God steps in, he begins to set you free. And the stuff you used to need, you find yourself don't need it anymore. All I need is to call on Jesus. I find myself stronger than I ever been in the midst of going through stuff. The stuff that used to knock me down, it don't knock me down no more. Every now and then, I'll go down, but I'm going down on my bended knees. And if I can cry out and say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. I may not have a good prayer to pray. I may not know how to pray. But if I can just say, have mercy on me. God knows. Your will be done. You understand my tears. Every now and then, you have to go down. Every now and then, you have to slide in your secret closet. But I know a God that will step in, and he'll allow you to change in your secret closet. Not breaking out like Superman, but breaking out like the Christian that you are. To treat you like that trash can. Paul says, I've been through some things in life. I've learned some things in life. The one thing that I know is that I cannot let my past haunt me. I can't get caught up back there.
Yeah.
I did it. You know about it. I know about it. It's embarrassing. It was painful. It ended me in jail and in the hospital, all that stuff. Paul says, forget about it.
Yeah.
Forgetting all those things that is behind me. He says, you got to reach. You got to reach. In other words, you're going to be challenged. But he says, you got to reach. You're going to have some resistance along the way. But you got to reach. You got to reach for the mark. There's a place where God has called you to be. You'll never see that place if you give up in the storm. You've come too far to stop now. You've been through too much. You've been through too much. Come on, stand with me. Let me take you somewhere right quick as we get ready to leave. I want to take you back in your past. I don't want you to look at the bad stuff. I want you to look at everything God delivered you from. You remember that car accident? Can you still see it? The car flipping. And you screaming. You don't know whether or not you're going to live or you're going to die. You see it? How about surgery? You remember that? And you're sitting there and you see this light. And you don't know if you're going to wake up to a bright light or you're going to wake up and it's going to be fiery. But somehow God woke you up. He delivered you. He brought you through. You remember you were going through that thing and you thought you were going to lose your mind in it? Somehow, God brought you through. He delivered you. Paul says, forgetting all those things that is behind you, you got to stretch for the mark. You got to stretch for the mark. God has a place for you. He has a place for you. Paul begins by saying, brethren. Brethren. In other words, those that is a part of the body of Christ. And that's what we came for this morning. As the deacons come and we open the doors of the church, we give you an invite, an invitation. We challenge you to become a part of the body.